Turn with me, please, tonight in the Old Testament to the book of Ruth. If you have a copy of the Word of God, we're going to read together from Ruth chapter 2 tonight. Ruth chapter 2. It's my joy, privilege, to be here in Lisburn tonight and to share with you in this harvest weekend. And yes, I have many fond memories of my time here. Yes, 10 years ago. 10 years in Sandown, now coming next month, and 10 years since I left here. And so it's always a joy to come back and to renew fellowship with God's people here in Lisburn. And to be here this evening is always a joy and an honour. Thank you for the invitation to be here tonight. We pray the Lord will bless us as we come to His Word. Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse number 1. Ruth chapter 2 and the verse number 1. And let's give attention to the reading of the Word of God tonight. This is God's Word, remember, that we're reading. And so let's give due attention as we hear what God would have to say to us this evening through His Word. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy reward, thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." We'll end at verse number 12, and we pray the Lord will be pleased to bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Can I ask you, please, to still your hearts together with us in a word of prayer as we come to the Word of God? As we come to prayer tonight, we come not just out of a sense of formality, we come out of a sense of duty, but we come out of a sense of need. We need the Lord's help tonight. I need the Lord's help to preach. We all need the Lord's help to hear. And so I trust that you'll pray with us, you'll pray for us as we come to this passage of Scripture this evening. If you're here, you're saved by the grace of God, that this word will encourage you, bless your heart. And if you're here without the Savior tonight, it's our prayer that the Word of God would challenge you, convict you, and the Holy Spirit would bring you to salvation tonight. Eternal God and our Father, We thank Thee for the Word of God tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we have the Scriptures of truth. We praise Thee, Lord, this evening that we're not left to wander, Lord, or to make it up by ourselves. Lord, we thank Thee for the Word. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You would be pleased to write that Word upon our hearts. O God, as we come to consider Thy Word this evening, we ask, O God, for a very real sense of Thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight You be pleased to come and minister to us, we pray. Lord, I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit just now, Lord, to preach as I ought to preach. O God, we thank Thee, Lord, tonight that while we are poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon us. Think upon us tonight for good. O God, we pray for help. We ask, O God, for the infilling, the empowering of God, the Holy Spirit. And our Father, we pray that there will be, Lord, that word in season to every waiting heart. Pray, Lord, especially tonight for those here out of Christ without a Savior, Lord, far from Thee, Lord, have no knowledge, Lord, no saving relationship with the Savior. O God, we pray that even tonight, this Saturday evening, at the commencement of this harvest weekend, we pray, Lord, that they might come tonight, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we look to Thee tonight for help. O God, we pray that You will be pleased to bless the going forth of Thy Word. Bless this preacher, bless every hearer tonight, we pray. And Lord, may everything be to the glory and to the honor of Thy great name, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wonder if I were to ask you tonight, what has been the most amazing thing that has ever happened to you? What would your answer be? Or maybe what is the most amazing thing that you have ever discovered or ever found out in your life? What would your answer be? Throughout our lives, we are amazed by many different things. We are amazed by how quickly things change in life. We are amazed by how quickly people change in life. And we're amazed at times about how quickly we ourselves can change as well. There's barely a day going past, I'm sure, that we are not amazed, we're not astounded, we're not astonished by what we hear or by what we see. We're living in very perilous and troublesome times, and how much we are amazed at all that is taking place in society. But tonight I want us to think about something even more amazing. I want us tonight to think about something even more astounding that perhaps has even come your way this week, or something you've heard about that has really amazed you, really perhaps troubled you. I want us tonight to think about something that is far more amazing. I want us tonight to think about the amazing grace of God. In verse number 10 of Ruth chapter 2, here we have this question asked by Ruth. She fell on her face, she bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" Here was Ruth as an outcast, as a stranger, amongst strangers, and yet she found grace. She found an acceptance. She found, as we'll go on to see tonight, all that she needed. And she was amazed. She was astounded by goodness and the grace that she found. Well, here's the mark of someone whose life has been changed by grace, saved by grace. Amazed that she should ever find grace at all. Dear child of God tonight, I wonder today, have you taken time to consider, to ponder? Of all that you have in Christ, all that you are in Christ, you're saved by God, your sins are forgiven, hell you'll never see, your name is written in heaven, you have eternal life, you shall never perish. Have you today been amazed by the grace of God? God forbid that we should ever come to that point in our lives when we take salvation simply for granted. But may we ever be amazed by the grace that we find. The old slave trader whose life was destroyed by alcohol and all the vices of this world, John Newton. There in the midst of the roughness of the sea, the grace of God reached him, and he able to pen those words of that wonderful hymn, most well-known hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amazed by grace. Here is something that should amaze us all tonight. Why have I found grace? Tonight, if you're saved, why am I forgiven? Why am I saved? Well, the answer is found in that one word there in verse 10, grace. Because our salvation, it's all of grace, it's all of God. Ruth was amazed at the grace that she found. And tonight, by the help of the Holy Spirit, may we all be amazed as Ruth was. If tonight finds you in this meeting without Christ, if tonight finds you here in this harvest weekend without the Savior, coming to give thanks for the bountiful provision of God, may tonight you go away from this place amazed by the grace of God that has saved and reached your soul. Because the great truth is, tonight God can save your soul. And we pray that tonight, as God would speak to us through His Word, that tonight we might all be amazed by grace. I want us to notice, first of all, here in this passage of Scripture, there was the search for grace. The search for grace. In verse number 2, we find Ruth going in search of this grace. Let me now, verse 2, go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Here she went searching. Here she went looking. Here she went desiring something that she knew she didn't have. In this admission, in this acknowledgement, in verse number 2, we realize Ruth is acknowledging the emptiness and the meaninglessness of her life. In whose sight I shall find grace. In that little phrase, she realizes that her life is empty, her life is without purpose, her life is without direction. And oh, that tonight in this meeting without the Savior, that you would realize tonight just how empty your life really is without the grace of God in your life. Oh, many people tonight will be out in the places of this world seeking to find something to satisfy the longing of their heart. Many people tonight in this city will be out searching for something to fill that void that there is in their life. They'll be searching for purpose. They'll be searching for meaning. And they'll go to the pubs, they'll go to all the vices of this world to try to find meaning to this life. Because the reality is that by nature, we all have a void in our lives. We're all born in sin, and sin brings an emptiness. And oh, that tonight you would realize that, sinner. Oh, that tonight you would realize just how empty your life is without the grace of God. She went searching for this. She realized there was something more. You're here tonight. We're glad to see you. Thank you for coming. Maybe somebody has invited you along, and that's good. But really, you have to acknowledge tonight that you're sitting in a church service on a Saturday night when perhaps you could be at many other different places, because you have to acknowledge your life is without purpose. Your life is without meaning. Just as Ruth had to acknowledge. She said, in whose sight I shall find grace. In this search for grace, we notice her activity. She says, "Let me now go to the field." Ruth had arrived in Bethlehem. She was a nothing. She was a stranger from Moab. She was seen as less than nothing. She was despised. She was rejected. She was a pagan. She had nothing to claim by right of herself. And so she set about the task of seeking to find acceptance. She said, "Let me now go." There was an activity. There was a searching. And you see, sinner tonight, in the matter of salvation, salvation's all of grace. Salvation's all of God, yes. But as we read in Matthew 7, that the sinner must strive to enter in the straight gate. There needs to be that longing. Having realized the emptiness of your life, there needs to be that desiring after the things of God. In Matthew 7:14, where we read those words about the sinner striving to enter into the straight gate, it means to agonize. It means to push past all the hindrances and all the obstacles that would stand in your way in being saved tonight. And perhaps tonight you've come to this meeting and you know the gospel inside out. You know your need to be saved, but there's something holding you back. Or there's someone keeping you from being saved. There's an obstacle in your way. Oh, that tonight you would get past that obstacle, that you would get past that hindrance, because whatever it is tonight, whatever it is that's stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ, let me tell you with love to your soul, it is not worth going to hell over. That person tonight that in your mind is a hindrance to stopping you being saved is not worth going to hell over. Those friendships, those associations that you have, that you feel you would lose if you were to get saved tonight, they are not worth going to hell over. You need to strive tonight. There needs to be this longing to get to Christ. You think tonight if you were to get saved, your friends would disown you. People wouldn't want anything to do with you. Oh, that tonight you would see past the crowds. That you would see past the hindrances. That you would see past the obstacles. And that tonight you would get to Christ. That you would strive. Here was Ruth, realizing just how empty she was, realized she needed to do something. Oh, that tonight you would realize that you're a sinner, that as you stand before God right now, you're under His condemnation, you're under His wrath, and that tonight you would get to Jesus Christ, that tonight you'd be saved. We see her activity in the search. We also see her appetite. Ruth realized that there was a hunger in her life. She realized that she needed something she didn't have. And she desired this. She longed for this. And right throughout all of chapter 2, we see the grace of God. Oh, that tonight you would desire salvation, that you would have an appetite for this grace of God of which we're speaking tonight. Perhaps you do desire it. You want to be saved. You would like to be saved. But tonight you're not. In nights gone by, as you've sat under the preaching of God's servant in this church, you've almost been there. And you've wanted to be saved. You've had this appetite, you've had that desire, but you've never, never come to Christ. Oh, that you might realize this evening, you delay this for any longer, it will be to your peril. If Ruth had not desired to go there into the fields, and there, as we'll see in a moment, find her Redeemer, find all that she would needed, her life could be so different. You see, when we talk about grace, we talk about it in the here and now. Tonight, for you, sinner, this is the day of grace. This is the day of salvation. Tonight is the very night that you need to be saved. Why do I say that? Because this is the only time you have. It's the only time you have. Over the past summer months, have we not been confronted time and time again with so many people passing into eternity so suddenly, so quickly? Many of them young people, with all of their life ahead of them. And maybe tonight you sit in this meeting and think, yes, I'll get saved sometime, but just not this time. The Scriptures tell us tonight, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't think you'll go out of this door, the doors of this church tonight. Perhaps come back tomorrow morning. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This is the time. This is the only time. And oh, that tonight you would find Jesus Christ. We see her anticipation as well in verse 2, where she says, I shall find grace. I shall find grace. Thank God tonight you seek after the grace of God with all your heart. Push past all those hindrances, all those obstacles in your life. You shall find Him. They shall seek me, the Lord says, and shall find me. When they search for me with all their heart. Tonight you get to Jesus Christ. You experience and come to the grace of God in salvation. He will save you. He'll not turn you away. He's not going to put you on probation for a little time and see how you get on. He will save you tonight. He'll change you. He'll turn your life around. I shall find grace. You see Christ tonight in salvation. You turn to Him this evening in salvation. He'll save you. He'll save you now. He'll pardon every sin, and your search will be rewarded. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. We see the search for grace. But I want us to notice, secondly, here there is the supply of grace. Her search was rewarded because Ruth found this grace. But she didn't find it in a place, she found it in a person. That person was her kinsman. The name is given for us there in verse number 1, chapter 2. Name was Boaz. She found grace in a place, not in a person. Now, before we go on to consider Boaz tonight, let's make it very clear that you're not going to find grace by coming to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. You're not going to find grace by your association with some other church or some other religion. You're going to find grace, but you're going to find it not in a place. You'll find it only in a person. And that person, as we'll see, is Jesus Christ. Boaz here is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. Remember all the Old Testament events? They all point to Christ. And the Old Testament people, they all point to Christ. The whole theme of Scripture, of course, is redemption. And most clearly seen in this little book of Ruth. But Ruth found grace in this person by the name of Boaz. He was her Redeemer.
Notice where Boaz came from in verse number 4. He came from Bethlehem, of course, the birthplace of Christ. Ruth found grace in Boaz, who points to Christ, the one who is full of grace. Let's consider how Boaz speaks to us tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see his riches, first of all, in verse number 1. He was a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. Do we not read in the Scriptures that he who was rich concerning Jesus Christ, he who was rich yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich? He who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, he who is rich beyond measure, he had all the splendor and riches of heaven, yet left the throne of heaven, came into this world to be our Savior, to save we sinners who are spiritually bankrupt, we who had nothing to offer to God. We see the riches here, but we also see the relatives here. He was a kinsman of her husband's, and there is the vital link. There's the link in verse number 1 that qualified Boaz to be Ruth's redeemer. Her relationship to Naomi's husband, Elimelech, Ruth's father-in-law. According to the law, the kinsman had, who would be the provider and the sustainer of the one who was in need, the one who was in danger, the one who was in trouble, they had to be connected, they had to be related to that person that they were going to redeem, that they were going to rescue. And here was a vital connection for Ruth. Ruth, who, as we remember, was a stranger. Yet through Naomi, she is connected to this man, Boaz, who was her redeemer. And the thing to note is that she would never have been in that connection or in that chain, or in that relationship of herself. Of herself, she would have remained a Moabitish woman. She would have remained an outcast. She would have remained a stranger. What a wonderful picture of Christ that is. Because you see, for us to have been saved, we could never have been saved by ourselves. We could do nothing to merit God's salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, by taking our human nature into union with his divine nature, brought us into that saving relationship with the ones he came to save. He became man in order to redeem man. There's our kinsman. There's our redeemer. There tonight is the link between God and man, the God-man Jesus Christ. He took flesh and blood in order to be our Redeemer. And Jesus Christ tonight is our only Redeemer. He is the only one where you will find grace, saving grace, grace to rescue you. Because remember, sinner, you're in danger tonight. You're in trouble tonight. You're in danger of losing your soul and going to hell. But Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world, the one who is our Redeemer, the one who bridged that gap between God and man, is able and willing to save you. Why did he come into this world? He came into this world to save. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And if he had not come, then there would be no salvation. If he had not come, there would be no redemption. But praise God that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Why? To save sinners like you and me. That we might find grace. He is our mediator tonight. He is the connection between the two opposing parties, a holy God and a sinful man. Boaz, as we've noted already, came from Bethlehem. Christ was born in Bethlehem. Why? Born in Bethlehem in humility. Live upon this earth to then go to a cross outside the hills of Jerusalem and there to die. There to shed his blood. There to offer himself a sacrifice for our sin. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. You're searching tonight for something more in this life. You're searching tonight for something that will fill the emptiness and the void in your life. You'll find it only in Jesus Christ. He says, I am come. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the life tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. Through Boaz, in Boaz, Ruth found all that she needed. We see his riches, his relatives, but we also see his recognition here. I want you to look at verse 5 with me for a moment. Boaz has come into the field now, and he sees all the reapers in that field. But look what he says in verse 5. Whose damsel is this? That field was full of reapers, full of workers. It was harvest time. There were laborers that would have been crowded. And yet he took notice of the one individual. He took notice of Ruth. Out of all the others, he saw the one. Praise God, tonight he's interested in the individual. He's interested in the insignificant. He's interested in the outcast. He's interested in the stranger, in the nobody. Praise God, Christ is interested in you tonight. He came to save sinners personally and individually. The hymn writer asked the question, was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne. Was it for me? He wept and prayed. My load of sin before him laid. Was it for me? He bowed his head upon the cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide. Was it for me? The Savior died. It was for me, yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free, O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. The Lord Jesus Christ looks into this meeting tonight and he sees you. He sees you in your sin, and yet tonight he's willing to save you and able to save you in your sin and from your sin. You. Whose damsel is this? We see as well the response in verse 7. She said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she gathered a little into the house. Verse 8, then Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Don't go away. Don't leave where you are. This was where the Lord wanted her. This was her place where she had found salvation. This was now to her place of service. What a challenge that is for those who have found grace in the sight of God. Let's bring that right into the very local fellowship, the local church. In this place where you find salvation under the preaching of the Word of God, in this place serve Him. Go not to another field. Serve Him here. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast. We see the search for grace, and we see the supply of this grace. But finally, as we close tonight, I want us to notice the satisfaction of this grace. We come down again to verse 10. And look at Ruth. She fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, that is Boaz, why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? But thou shouldest take knowledge of me. I'm a stranger. I'm an outcast. I'm a nobody. And yet you took knowledge of me. You saved me. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She was amazed by the grace that she had found. You're saved by God's grace tonight. Every moment of every day, we should be amazed by the grace of God. Why should He save me? Why should He love me? Why should He be interested in me? For all the faults and all the failures, why? We should never lose the wonder of our salvation. Ruth certainly didn't. She was amazed. And she was satisfied by all that she found. In Boaz. You come on down to verse 14. We notice the invitation here that was extended to her. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. She was invited into the place of feasting and face the place of satisfaction. She was sufficed. She was more than satisfied. You come to Jesus Christ tonight, you will be satisfied. You give your heart and life to Jesus Christ tonight, you will not go away disappointed. There is not one of God's children in this place tonight who are disappointed by the day the Lord saved them. Well, it doesn't mean that our life's going to be without trouble and difficulty. There'll be days like that, all right. But even through such days of hardship, you'll prove the grace of God to be your strength and to be your sufficiency. You'll prove Jesus Christ to be a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Ruth did not regret that moment when grace entered her life. She was satisfied by all she found. There was food in this invitation, come eat of the bread. Bread speaking of Christ, who is the bread of life. But there was also fellowship there in that invitation she sat. Think of it, she was brought from the fields to sit at the feet of her Redeemer. Brought into that relationship with her Redeemer. And child of God, there is sweet fellowship and sweet communion for us at the feet of Christ. Did Mary of Bethany not find that? When she chose that better part and sat at the Master's feet. Hymn writer says, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear Him say, happy place, so near, so precious, may it find me.
there each day. Were you there today?
Were you sitting at the feet of Jesus enjoying that sweet fellowship, being amazed by the grace of God that you were brought into relationship with Him? In a world with so much fear and dread and loneliness and weariness, what a pleasure, what a joy it is to sit at the feet of Christ and with His Word hear Him speak to your soul. She was satisfied. She was sustained. She went away. She was sufficed and left. She didn't go away empty. She went away full. And on the strength of that, she went back into the place of service and served her master. She wasn't disappointed. You'll never be disappointed by coming to Jesus Christ. I know sometimes the Christian can be some of the most miserable people in the world. I have clear recollections of the late Pastor Ivan Thompson testifying and telling us how that before he was saved, he used to think God's people were just downright miserable all the time, walking around with long faces. I'm not going to use that name of that town because I might get in bother. And their Bibles under their arms, just saying to each other, "Cheer up, brother, we'll soon be dead." And yet he realized the moment he came to Jesus Christ, his life was satisfied. We close tonight with the vindication of this satisfaction. Verse 16, there is those handfuls of purpose for her. Verse 15, he said, commanded, young men, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Don't have time to take this thought any further, but those blessings a long life's way. Every day the Lord has blessings in store for us. Those handfuls of purpose, the Lord was going to look after her. The Lord was going to provide for her. You give your heart and life to Jesus Christ tonight, you'll not only be not disappointed, but you will have one who will look after you the rest of your life, who will provide for you, who will meet your every need. When you're in trouble, He will be your strength. When you feel so down and so depressed, He will be the lifter up of your head. Ruth had no worries when she was in that field of grace. Every need was met by Boaz. Every need tonight that you have or ever will have is met alone in Jesus Christ. Tonight, may you be amazed at the grace of God. Amazed that He should ever save or think upon a sinner like me. Amazed that He should ever come into this world to save a sinner like you and me. May you leave this meeting tonight amazed at God's grace, of what the Lord has done for you. You've come into this meeting. You've come in out of Christ. By the grace of God, you can go away a new creature in Christ Jesus, with a new life, true life, the only life. The life alone that Jesus Christ can give. Will you come to Him tonight? At this harvest meeting, will you come?
give your heart and life to Him and be amazed at the grace of God. Let's bow in prayer. And tonight we issue the invitation. If you'd like to be saved, be concerned. And tonight you long for this salvation. And tonight you can come to Jesus Christ, realizing, as Ruth did, that your life is as it is without purpose, without meaning. Realizing your sin, leaving that and getting to Christ. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about things that are perhaps holding you back. Get to Him tonight. Get to Him and be saved. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, tonight for the amazing grace of God. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that you should ever think upon us. Lord, we can never understand it. We'll never, Lord, be able to take it in why the Holy One should die for our sin. And oh God, we pray tonight for anyone who may be here, still an outcast, a stranger to God's grace. May they come tonight. And may they experience the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Peace that passeth all understanding, a peace this world can never give. Praise God, a peace this world can never take away. Oh Lord, we pray that you bless thy word. Speak on. And for each one, Lord, that knows thee, Lord, for each one of us that are saved tonight, may we never cease to be amazed at the grace of God toward us. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.